healing, miracles, and deliverance in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Then Peter said, Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Acts chapter 3 verse 6. Peter's words outside the temple are among the most profound demonstrations of divine authority in the early church. The apostle does not plead, negotiate, or rely on ritual. He speaks in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. The crippled man's body responds immediately because that name carries the full weight of the risen Christ's authority. The miracle is not the result of Peter's holiness or eloquence, but the living power attached to the name he invoked. When believers act in that name, they are not performing magic. They are exercising faith in the one who holds power over sickness, sin, and death. The name of Jesus bridges heaven's authority with earthly need. And his name through faith in his name hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Acts chapter 3 verse 16. Peter explains the source of the miracle. Not human merit, not moral excellence, but faith in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. To believe in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth is to believe in all that it represents. His authority to forgive sins, to heal, to restore, to make whole. Notice Peter's precision. The faith which is by him. Even the faith to believe comes through Christ. The miracle was not a display of Peter's faith level but of Jesus' sufficiency. The power that raised the man up was the same power that raised the son from the grave. Every act of healing in his name is a reminder that his resurrection was not an isolated event. It is a living force still working through his people. Be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. Acts chapter 4 verse 10. Peter's bold testimony before the Sanhedrin transforms a public inquiry into a proclamation of the gospel. The miracle is not merely proof of divine power, it is proof of the resurrection. Whom ye crucified, whom God raised, the authority of the name rests on the victory of the cross. Because death could not hold him, his name cannot fail. The man stands whole as living evidence that the same Jesus rejected by men has been vindicated by Almighty God. This pattern continues through the centuries. Every soul healed, delivered, or saved in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth is a living witness that Christ is alive and reigning. The name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth functions as a spiritual decree, not a charm or incantation, but the expression of legal authority given to those under his lordship. Just as a royal decree carries the king's seal, so the believer's command carries heaven's endorsement when spoken in faith under his authority. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. Luke chapter 10 verse 17. Long before the crucifixion and resurrection, Jesus' disciples discovered that his name carried power over unseen forces. Their joy overflowed because they had witnessed evil submit to divine authority. Yet Jesus' response, Rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice, because your names are written in heaven, Luke chapter 10, v.20, reminds us that authority must remain rooted in relationship. The power of the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth is not a tool for spiritual pride but a sign of our covenant position. To use his name rightly, we must remain submitted to the one it represents. Authority without intimacy becomes presumption, but authority born of fellowship becomes victory. And this was known to all the Jews and Greeks also dwelling at Ephesus, and fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. Acts chapter 19 verse 17. The events in Ephesus, including false exorcists attempting to wield Jesus' name without knowing him, serve as a warning and a revelation. When the sons of Sceva misused the name, the demonic realm retaliated, proving that the power of Jesus' name cannot be imitated or borrowed. Yet the aftermath brought a great revival of reverence. The name of the Lord Jesus Christ was magnified. When people saw that his name was not a formula but a living authority, fear and repentance followed. Even today, when the true power of that name is demonstrated in holiness, humility, and faith, entire communities can be shaken by the reality that Jesus Christ is Lord. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. Mark chapter 16 verse 17. In his closing commission, Jesus made it plain that his authority would continue through his followers. Signs do not create faith, they follow it. The promise, in my name, ensures continuity. The same authority he exercised over sickness and sin would be delegated to the believing church. The phrase, them that believe, establishes the condition. Faith is the conduit. Power without faith is presumption. Faith without his name is powerless. Together they manifest the kingdom. Whether through healing, deliverance, or restoration, the same Jesus Christ of Nazareth who walked the earth continues his ministry through those who dare to believe in the power of his name. Preaching, baptism, and ministry in his name, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Luke chapter 24 verse 47. The final instruction Jesus gave before ascending to the Father places his name at the very core of the gospel commission. Repentance and forgiveness are not abstract ideals, they are realities made possible only through the authority of his name. From Jerusalem to the ends of the earth, every sermon that calls men to turn from sin does so under this seal. Forgiveness has been purchased, and that purchase bears a name. Preaching in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth means proclaiming not merely doctrines, but a person, the Christ who saves, heals, and reigns. The preacher's task is not to impress, but to introduce, not to elevate himself, but to make known the one whose name alone can cleanse the guilty and restore the broken. Then Peter said unto them, Repent, and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Acts chapter 2 verse 38. On the day of Pentecost, the very first sermon of the church ends with the same instruction Jesus gave before he ascended. Act in his name. Baptism, in the name of Jesus Christ, is more than a ritual phrase, it is identification. The believer publicly declares allegiance to the one who died and rose again, entering into his death and resurrection through water and spirit. The authority of his name makes baptism more than symbolic, it is covenantal. Just as ancient covenants were sealed by name and blood, so this new covenant is sealed by the name of Jesus and the blood of the Lamb. The remission of sins is not theoretical, it is enacted and affirmed every time a soul goes down into those waters and comes up bearing his name. But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Acts chapter 8 verse 12. Philip's ministry in Samaria demonstrates that the gospel is inseparable from the name of Jesus. The message of the kingdom and the proclamation of his name are one and the same. The power that heals the sick and casts out demons is the same power that saves the soul. Men and women alike responded not to clever words, but to the authority of the name Philip preached. It was this name that broke centuries of division between Jew and Samaritan. Where human systems had built walls, the name of Jesus built bridges. When we preach Christ rightly, we are not spreading religion. We are extending the reign of the King whose name unites every tribe and tongue. And they called them, and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. Acts chapter 4 verse 18. The first persecution of the church came not because of politics or personality, but because of the power of a name. The authorities did not say, stop healing, or stop gathering, but stop speaking in this name. They recognized that what many believers forget is that the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth carries spiritual weight that threatens every kingdom built on pride and sin. The apostles' refusal to obey marked a turning point in history. They chose obedience to Christ over compliance with men. The opposition confirms the potency of the name. When the church becomes silent about Jesus, the world grows comfortable. When the church speaks boldly in his name, the world is shaken. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. Acts chapter 5 verse 41, to suffer, for his name, is to bear a small portion of the reproach he bore for us. The apostles rejoiced not because pain is pleasant, but because persecution proved authenticity. The world that crucified Christ cannot easily tolerate his presence in his people. Yet the name that provokes hostility also imparts honor. To suffer for Jesus is to share in his victory. To be rejected for his name is to be known by heaven. True ministry is measured not by applause but by endurance. Those who labor for his name will be misunderstood by men but approved by God. The scars of obedience become the marks of belonging. Men that have hazarded their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 15 verse 26. The early believers understood something our age often forgets, that the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth is worth any cost. To hazard one's life for his name is to value eternal glory above temporal safety. This verse exposes the heartbeat of true missions, a willingness to lose all so that others might hear that name once more. Every generation must rediscover that this gospel is worth living for and dying for. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Acts chapter 19 verse 5. At Ephesus, believers who had known only John's baptism receive a fuller revelation. Repentance must lead to relationship. The name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth completes what John's message began. Water alone cannot save it, must be joined to the name of the Savior. Wherever the name of Jesus is exalted, the Spirit of God moves. The two are inseparable, the living Word and the living Spirit working together to bring men from religion into redemption. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Colossians chapter 3 verse 17. Ministry does not end when the sermon does, it continues in every conversation, every act of service, every thought and intention. To do all in the name of the Lord Jesus is to live consciously under his lordship. The Christian no longer belongs to himself. Every word and deed is an opportunity to display the character of Christ. Gratitude becomes the fragrance of ministry, because we serve in the name of one who has already accomplished everything. When believers truly live under that name, daily life becomes worship and ordinary work becomes holy ground. That the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you, and ye in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 12. The goal of every act done in his name is not self-promotion but glorification. Notice the mutual exchange. His name is glorified in us, and we are glorified in him. This is the mystery of grace. God exalts his people as they exalt his Son. Ministry in his name is not about building ministries, brands, or movements. It is about becoming vessels through which Christ's reputation shines. When the church walks in humility and obedience, the world sees not us, but him.